The second topic that I think is kind of near and dear to Francis's heart, and as well as mine, is communicating with your workforce has also never been more important. You know, this is a technology law conference, and so we're sort of making the assumption that much of the workforce that you deal with is a knowledge-based workforce, an office-based workforce, but no matter where they are, whether they're in offices or in the field, communicating clearly and being active about it and getting ahead of issues, I think is really essential. And, you know, the number one thing that we've tried to do is assure everybody that we've got their health and safety first in mind, right? And also trying to take the right tone with people, trying to show a little bit more empathy maybe than we did in the past. We're a pretty empathetic company, we think, but we've tried to bend over backwards to be even more empathetic to folks who are stuck in their houses or apartments, who are caring for loved ones, whether they're children or elderly adults or what have you. And so trying to factor in, you know, the human relations part of the job, which maybe hasn't been my strong suit in my career, but factoring that in has become, I think, more critical than ever. And trying to spend extra time with each of your employees to address their individual concerns, I think really pays off. The one piece of, I guess, quasi-legal advice I would give before, Francis, I know you've got some thoughts on this, is you've really got to give caveats. You know, in other words, no one can predict the future. 6 months ago, I don't think any of us thought we would be in the midst of a global pandemic. And so heavily caveating both the decisions and the advice you give and the statements you make to your employees, I think is very important. In other words, you know, saying, hey, we can't predict the future. Here's what we know with the best information we have now. We're all doing our best and we're making decisions in real time. So, you know, you may not be able to hold me to this if the situation changes or the facts change. I think that's a very important piece.
Well, and I will build upon that last statement of Dave's by just saying, and it is fine to admit that you don't have all of the answers, because that's what's key. We don't have all of the answers, and you're not expected to have all of the answers. But I do think that what we have to be able to say is that we are making good decisions, and that, again, the health and safety of our employees are the top priorities, and that that's the number one concern. Now, I know that these are considered to be the soft issues, and our jobs are to get our jobs done, and to that we have many, many stakeholders, and that employees are one of those stakeholders. Investors are another key stakeholder. Our customers, our vendors are other key stakeholders, and really communication with all of them is important. And we are here talking about our workforce, but don't put aside the fact that everyone is watching. And this is a key defining moment in your brand, and that the decisions that you have made up to now and the decisions that you are making going forward are really going to define your company and who you are really for another decade or more. And these decisions are critical. What you do concerning your employees, how you treat them, the decisions that you make regarding their health and safety are going to be considered very heavily by your investors. And we've talked in the past about ESG and those factors. Believe me, as we come out of this and as we recover, as the economy recovers, investors are going to be looking heavily at those factors. And even if you are not a public company, those are going to be things that people are going to take consideration of, and they're going to ask challenging questions if there is a feeling that you have not treated your workforce well.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, when we look at this event, it the magnitude of it and the global impact of it is probably greater than anything that it has occurred during my working lifetime. I've been practicing for 30 years now. And you know, it, like, I, so I've been through 9/11, been through SARS, been through avian flu, you know, all of these various other sort of more lightweight pandemics or disasters that happen in the world. This one is obviously global. It's obviously pervasive. And it's obviously, you know, has had the biggest impact, I think, on any large set of humans, of any of those. So, you know, Francis and I put together perhaps the most rudimentary, but I think useful checklist for thinking through, you know, how you return to work. And the threshold question is obviously, are things open? You know, are you legally permitted to return to work? If you're going to a site that you don't control, either because it's a leased facility or it's a shared office building or something of that nature, then you've got to account for the other folks who control it, as well as the other folks, the other lessees who are with whom you share the facility. So they may have a different set of protocols than you've got, and you've got to kind of relate to them. Another question is,